Welcome. Welcome to each of you as we gather today in the name of Jesus Christ. It's good to see us as we move in together in this way, as we move into our second day of Spiritual Life Week. Crossing bridges you'd rather burn. Places in ministry where you are not sure you want to go. Looking forward to what Donna and Conrad Mast are going to share with us this morning and what the Spirit will provide for us. I'm not going to add a whole lot to Lonnie's introduction from yesterday, and those of you who are getting this podcast, you can go back to yesterday's podcast and hear that introduction. I just simply want to say that they are alum of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, and they have co-pastored Kingview Mennonite Church. And at present, Donna is the conference minister for Allegheny Mennonite Conference, and Conrad is the pastor of Scottsdale Mennonite Church. Welcome. It's good to have you among us again in this way. Let's pray for a moment. Spirit of Christ, we invite you to open our hearts and our minds to be aware of what you are inviting us to this day. Thank you for the gift of the opportunity to gather. Now be with us as we move to hear, to respond, and to cross those bridges in our life that you invite us across. Because of the exuberant love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 139.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up.
You discern my thoughts from far away.
You search out my path and my lying down.
And are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely.
You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is so high that I cannot attain it.
Where can I go from your spirit?
Oh, where can I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there.
If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning
and settle at the farthest limits of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me,
and your right hand shall hold me fast.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night,
even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day.
For darkness is as light to you.
For it was you who formed my inward parts.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you.
For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works.
That I know very well.
My frame was not hidden from you.
When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth,
your eyes beheld my unformed substance.
In your book were written
all the days that were formed for me,
when none of them as yet existed.
How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God.
How vast is the sum of them.
I try to count them. They are more than the sand.
I come to the end. I am still with you.
Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God.
And that the bloodthirsty would depart from
those who speak of you maliciously.
And lift themselves up against you for evil.
Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord?
And do I not loathe those who rise up against you?
I hate them with perfect hatred.
I count them as my enemies.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Test me and know my thoughts.
See if there is any wicked way in me.
and lead me in the way everlasting.
A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 10 to 19. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias!" He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight at the house of Judas and look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he will have to suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the way here has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength.
From the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace. And might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to those who were near, to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God.
Ananias. Boy, do I understand Ananias. You know, I wonder whether when he first recognized that God was calling him to go to Saul, I wonder whether those words from Psalm 139 that we avoid, I wonder if those were going through his mind at all. Oh, but I hate those who hate you, Lord. Why don't you slay this man? Slay the wicked. Oh, my goodness, I don't want to go. I mean, Saul had been breathing out threats, dragging Christians off to jail, nodding approval at their executions. Why would this devout man, Ananias, Christian, want to be anywhere near Saul? What does one do when God seems to be asking exactly the opposite of what is sensible? But then I have to wonder about Saul, too. Saul, empowered with righteous indignation and backed up with the power of the high priest himself, he had this letter. Suddenly he finds himself in this extremely vulnerable situation. And what's he going to do? He can't see. He's had this incredible experience of hearing from Jesus himself on the road. But he is so vulnerable. And then to have one to whom you would have persecuted come to your aid. Whew. Was that a bridge that Saul wanted to cross? Had I been in either one of their shoes, I don't think I would have desired this encounter. But Ananias was obedient, and Saul was compliant, and God's will was done. Saul became Paul, a mighty voice for the good news of Jesus Christ. Because Ananias was obedient, because Saul was compliant. There are times as pastors that we are invited to enter into others' lives in very significant ways. And I've discovered that some of the very holiest moments can happen when I enter into those situations that scare me, that I want to avoid.
Dividing walls have a way of getting thicker, stronger, more permanent as time goes on, as in contrast to most walls. You build a wall and you can expect it to deteriorate over the seasons, over years. Dividing wall of hostility seems to get stronger with time, wider, taller. And we, at best, see the only way to deal with it is to go around or over it. The separation is between ourselves and the people on the other side of it. What happens when you reach through it is that you discover the wall was there in your mind. You had built that wall and it was fairly permanent from your side of the wall. And in reaching through, you discover its transparency. It's not as permanent as you thought it was, only as you reach into it and not try to go around or find a way over it, lobbing something across the bridge or across the wall. The story of Ananias and Saul is a great testimony to what occurs when we reach across barriers. Ministry easily takes place in those points we're invited, those funerals, those weddings, those births and baptisms, those places that where we'd like to have the pastor say a few words here. Would you come and be with us in this time? Bring comfort, bring hope. People asking for the presence of someone who cares, putting a little Christian emphasis on the event. Whatever you're asked to do, lead the pledge at the school, or prayer before the school graduation, whatever it happens to be. You know, those are easy places to invite the pastor to. Occasionally, you're even asked for some words of guidance in a difficult situation. But when you get an opportunity to walk with people going through monumental crisis of faith, reorienting their lives, stepping back from the brink of a catastrophic decision, rising up from a deathbed, embracing an enemy in true reconciliation, you walk into a really special place of ministry. A ministry that periodically demands a lot more out of you than a simple, "Yes, Lord, I'm listening. Yes, Lord, here I am." Ananias and Saul each receive a vision of one another. And how I've longed for some vision with such clarity. Naming the person you're supposed to go to. Wow, that is wonderful. Occasionally it does happen in ministry where you just have this nudge in your soul that says, "I need to stop at that house. I need to visit that person." And unfortunately, you know, you ignore it sometimes and you discover, "I should have been there. I really was being led." The blessing of having been there at that moment in time is unimaginable. where you walk into a person who is despondent over some news they've just received, and you are the first person at the saying. That is an unbeatable point of having answered that call, that nudge to go visit. Make that call. Stop in. Ananias and Saul have received a vision of one another and had either responded to the instructions of God in a different way and said, no, I'm just imagining this. I'll take care of it later. Imagine what the story of Christian expansion across the Gentile world might have looked like instead. God's call, God says, I have chosen Saul to be a minister to the Gentiles. That would have been fulfilled in some form. It would not have been Ananias. It would not have been Damascus. It would not have taken place the way it did at the time it did. But I still believe it would have occurred. But the story could have been considerably different. We are often quick to accept the dividing walls that are in place between ourselves and the people around us. We assume that it's there for our own good. We establish them in some cases. We call them boundary lines, and we let that boundary get bigger and thicker and bigger and thicker. And we think that that's in place to help them, protect us from them. I'd invite you to think about how transparent, how that wall dissolves once you reach through it and not try to go around. A lot of times we think I'm doing just fine over here, you're going to do just fine over there, let us not meet together. And it becomes a practice. It becomes something we get accustomed to and we find very convenient for our own self-preservation. Glory invades our life when we find that that wall is no longer existing, when that wall has been broken by someone simply reaching through and the other says, hello. And the wall is discovered, it's not really there, that dividing wall of hostility, as it says in Ephesians. Ananias trusted God's message enough that he was willing to place his own life at risk to go encounter this person who had already determined to come to his town and annihilate the Christian community that was forming in that place. Paul's destination had been Damascus. Paul's purpose was to do as he had been doing before. What irony. In the end, a Jew becomes a great defender of the Gentiles. Paul's great effort to build one church with many members, neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, was ignited in that encounter. I wonder what it, in my moments of wondering, what might it have looked like had he had to wait another couple of years for that ignition? Gone back to Jerusalem and met in the council somehow and got this affirmation for proceeding on with the Gentile ministry. No, it was a person in the city he had gone to kill, to destroy, to persecute, who reaches across to him, says, God has sent me to heal, to bring health to your life, to restore you. What if Ananias had simply kept to his side of the fence, carrying on safely with the life he had known?
Because we're focusing on others, crossing bridges to others in this service, I would invite us to pray this prayer together, number 145, and sing the story. Let's pray together. Christ, whose insistent call disturbs our settled lives, give us discernment to hear your word, grace to relinquish our tasks, and courage to follow empty-handed
wherever you may lead, that the voice of your gospel may reach to the ends of the earth. Amen.